So actually, this the context of the book is the whole poetry was written by one of Ram Maharishi's closest associates, and it's called Upadesha Undiyar. And there, this is a story, and that one episode of that story is how the rishis who were living in Dwarkavanam, one place called Dwarkavanam, and then where there are lots of ascetics, rishis, I mean saints were living, and they had high profound knowledge of Vedas, and they were more involved in performing rituals. They knew completely the know-how of rituals. They are performing rituals and they are accomplishing lots of karapalam also. In fact, they had all ashtama siddhis. Ashtama siddhis means these occult powers, you know, eightfold occult powers. See, even 102, if a person has, he becomes Mahatma here. Imagine of somebody being endowed with, having accomplished all eightfold occult powers. Ashtama siddhayaha. Anima, garima, mahima, like that. So these rishis had all siddhi powers and they could accomplish anything if you're doing karma. So they thought, these Dwarkavanam saints thought, there's nothing more than, greater than the Veda. That means what? They were highly religious but not spiritual. They forgot, they thought artha kamas can be accomplished through karma, and accomplished artha kamas, because once you have artha and kama, they don't need to worry about anything else. So they did not think about moksha. And that is where they were highly, completely they closed in their understanding. There is no purushartha nischaya. They did not have, even though they are saints, great people, people of a very high order, and they were clean people, highly righteous, ethical also, the religious and all that, but they are not spiritual. That is where Bhagavan had to really teach them. So to make them understand, and it's a story says, that Puranam says, Lord Shiva himself came down in the form of a saint, as a sadhu sannyasi. And Lord Vishnu came as a Mohini, woman. And what happened, the Mohini looked so pretty. All these Dwarkavana saints, they were attracted towards this woman. So they all went off behind this Mohini. And when they were after this, but they couldn't just, the Mohini was going, so they were not just going behind this Mohini. So they forgot about the tapas and all that. That time, Lord Shiva, who came in the form of this saint, sannyasi, he visited the families, the houses. He went to Bhiksha for this, houses of these Dwarkavana saints. And there, all their wives were there. They attracted to this man, who's Lord Shiva. Attracted means what? Simply. And then, when they came, so they all went after Lord Shiva. So when these people came back, when these Dwarkavana saints found out, and they said, it's Lord Vishnu's something, it's not real woman. Then they found that they came back to their houses, they saw their women were not there. They all went off behind Lord Shiva. So they got very angry with Lord Shiva. They did not know it was Lord Shiva. They thought, so some sannyasi has come, young sannyasi who looks handsome, and then all women have gone after this man. So they wanted to really kill this person. And because they were highly disciplined and they were informed of Vedic karma kanda and all that, they wanted to use all their powers to kill this person. They used their powers, the powers they got through the tapas, they sent different types of missiles and things to kill this sannyasi, the Lord Shiva who is the form of sannyasi. First they sent an angry, hungry tiger. A tiger went near the sadhu, and the sadhu, just using his sharp nail, he killed the tiger. Then they sent all the snakes, And then all the snakes became his ornaments. And they sent all big missiles, fireball and all that. Nothing could kill him. Then they realized, my God, oh, we have used, expressed all our Siddhi powers. And no power could kill this person. Let me have something more. You know. And they realized, they felt, when they had to use, express all the knowledge they had, all the powers they had, and accomplish through karma, rich performance of rituals. And then when they felt their limitations, they understood, this is the limitation of our powers. After all, they could not even kill the sannyasi. That means why he has something more. What this person is all about, no? Then they want to know. Then they surrendered to this sannyasi and they asked, oh Lord, now teach us what is that which is more than what is conveyed in the karma kanda of the Veda. And that is when Lord Shiva, who came in the form of sannyasi, started teaching. So Shiva played a role of a teacher. Dharukavana saints, the saints who were living in the forest of Dharuka, it's called Dharukavanam, and they became disciples. So that's why teaching is always about dialogue. And that teaching, Ramamahishi's friend who wrote the whole text called Upesha Undiyar in Tamil. And only this part, the teaching part, he requested Ramamahishi to write. So Ramamahishi wrote only the teaching part of the whole text, he didn't write. The teaching done by Lord Shiva, who came from sannyasi to the Dharuka of the saints, that alone he wrote in Tamil. It's called Upadesha Undiyar. And then it was in the meter called Undipara. In Tamil we have meter called Undipara meter. So Undipara means actually, in Tamil there's a word called Asechol, means simply always these words which are added to the poetry for the poetic beauty, a poetic expression. Doesn't convey any much great meanings. But when Tamil Maharishi wrote this, that word also has got some meaning. That means, don't be asleep, make efforts, come on, try and get up and fly. It means what? Accomplish what you have to ultimately accomplish. No? That is the meaning he threw his words. Because of Tamil Maharishi's work, even that Undipara word has got some meaning later on. So, I told you that how it comes. They used to sing regularly in highly philosophical, means it explains, it gives you the essence of teaching. Upadeshasya saraha. Upadeshaha means teaching. And the saraha means essence. Upadeshasya saraha. Essence of the teaching. Of the Vedanta. It is given upadesha saraha. In Tamil when we say upadesha saram. In fact, Upadesha Saraha. Upadesha Saraha. That means if you read this, you get the essence of the vision of Upanishads. Om Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha Hari Om. Om Ganana Am Tva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavin Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtaram Maye Prajam Maye Suryo Brajo Dadhatu Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. The teaching is always for those who have purushartha nischayaha, those who are definite about the moksha being the ultimate choiceless human end. And mokshaha, again, as you know the meaning, freedom from sara, mokshaha, at least samsara nivrittihi is mokshaha. Freedom from samsara, freedom from bondage, freedom from life of limitations, freedom from this life of transmigration is mokshaha. So samsara nivrittihi implies what? Dukkha nivrittihi. Dukkha nivrittihi is samsara nivrittihi. Dukkha nivrittihi means what? Elimination of sorrow. Or freedom from sorrow is dukkha nivrittihi, samsara nivrittihi. So dukkha nivrittihi is mokshaha means, freedom from sorrow is mokshaha means, and we say this freedom from sorrow, how can one become free from sorrow? By removing sorrow, one can become free from sorrow. By getting out of sorrow, one can become free from sorrow. Or by discovering sorrowlessness, one can become free from sorrow. So, it is very important here. So, there is no way of eliminating, undoing sorrow. There is no way of destroying sorrow. By discovering sorrowlessness, one can become free from sorrow. So, discovering sorrowlessness implies what? Discovering happiness. Discovering happiness implies discovering fullness. So, discovery of fullness is discovery of happiness. In discovering fullness, this sorrow will disappear. Sorrow can be resolved in fullness. Sorrow is not destroyed. Sorrow can be resolved in fullness. Therefore, the discovery of what fullness is, in fact, is what? Discovery of what the reality is. So, discovery of what the reality is, how can I discover the reality? Reality can be discovered only as the self. So, discovery of the self is in fact discovery of the reality of the entire cosmos, and discovery of the reality is discovery of what fullness is, and discovery of fullness is discovery of what happiness is, discovery of what happiness is discovery of sorrowlessness, that is what is freedom from sorrow. But discovery, when you say it is the happiness or fullness or sorrowlessness, is something to be discovered, means something to be recognized, something to be known, not to be attained. Not to be attained. This must be very clear. If attained, it cannot be attained, it has to be discovered, means this happiness is something which is already there as the very reality. It's already there. If it's already there, what does it mean? It does not have beginning. Look at this. This happiness that we are seeking has no beginning. The happiness we are seeking has no end. Cannot have an end. Because we are not interested in searching for something which is going to come to an end also. So we are very clear. The happiness what we are searching for has no beginning, has no end. And it cannot undergo any changes also. The happiness is something which is already there. That is what in Tamil we say, niraivu. Anandaha. Samskrita shabdaha. And in Tamil we say niraivu. And happiness or fullness in English. You know, it is something which is already there. Beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, this fullness, this happiness is there. That is why it has to be discovered. And therefore therefore this mokshaha, this discovery of this fullness actually is something, choiceless end, as we have already studied in other classes. So choiceless end means, and here there are many views, how can I accomplish this moksha? How can I accomplish this moksha? What is the means of accomplishing this mokshaha? There are many views. There are some people who say you need knowledge alone. Knowledge alone is the means for mokshaha. Knowledge means what? Because happiness is something already there. Knowing what happiness is what? Accomplishing moksha. Therefore, knowledge is the only means for mokshaha. You don't need to do anything because it is already there. It is a question of knowing what it is. Therefore, knowledge, ignorance is bondage. Therefore, knowledge is moksha. Knowledge is the only means for moksha. Knowledge of what happiness is, means what? Knowledge of what the self is, knowledge of what the reality is, itself is enough to accomplish moksha, because knowledge itself is moksha. Some people say knowledge is the only means for moksha. Some people say, no, it is knowledge alone is not enough. We have to perform karma also. Perform karma, and then along with the pursuit of knowledge, and we need both knowledge and karma as means for moksha. And such people are known as jnana karma samuchaya vadinaha. No, those who, they say, synthesis of karma and jnanam together serve as means for accomplishing moksha. Karma vayum seyyanum, jnanamum venum, appoda moksham kedaikum. Some people say that, no, knowledge and karma together serve as means for moksha. That some people say. Some people say, no, we don't need jnanam at all. Just the karma itself is enough for moksha. No, do karma, because the whole karma kanda is the most voluminous portion, therefore prescribes varieties of karmas. Know the know-how of performance of rituals, and do rituals, enjoy any amount of artha kamas you want. Just the performance of karma, not only Vedic rituals, karma itself is enough for moksha. Some people say jnanam alone is enough for moksha. Some people say karma alone is enough for moksha. Some people say karma and jnana together serve as means for moksha. No, that we have people. And some people upasanam and upasana, again manasam karma and jnana serve together as serve as means for moksha. Then many views are there. And here all this have to be refuted. Only one thing is the right, you know, that knowledge is moksha. Knowledge is the only means for moksha. Why? Because knowledge itself is moksha. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the reality of the jagat itself is what? Knowledge of the reality is knowledge of what fullness is. They are not two different things. Reality and fullness. Parambarulum nirevum iruveru potkal alla. Understand? Reality and fullness are not two different things. Reality is fullness, fullness is reality. Reality and happiness are not two different things. Reality is happiness, happiness is reality. Like what? Like light and illumination. You know that? Like sun and light, brilliance. Like fire and heat. Reality and this fullness, happiness are not two different things. Knowing the reality itself is knowing what fullness is. Therefore, knowledge of reality is knowledge of fullness. And knowledge of the reality, this reality is available for recognition only as the meaning of the word I. Therefore, we say what? It also self. Knowledge of the self is knowledge of the reality of the universe. Knowledge of the reality of the universe is knowledge of what fullness is. Knowing what fullness is, what? Accomplishing fullness. There is no way of accomplishing fullness other than knowing. Okay? It's only means is jnanam. Therefore, they said, make it very clear. A jnana karma samuchayaha. The synthesis of karma and knowledge cannot be the means for moksha. Okay? Karma itself cannot be the means of moksha. Knowledge itself is moksha. That is made very clear. Why? Because if knowledge itself is moksha is not very clear, then your commitment to the pursuit of knowledge will not be possible. That has become very clear. Jnaname moksham. Parambrulai patri arive muktiyai arivu patri arivu. So, jnanam itself is moksha, must be very clear, so that one can be without any doubt, without any thing, one can commit oneself to the pursuit of knowledge. And not only that, one should know that knowledge is the only means for moksha, one should also know what karma cannot do. Karma is not belittled as something inferior, as unwanted. But karma has to be understood, that how limitation of karma one needs to understand. One should know what karma can, what do we mean by understand the limitation of karma, what karma can produce, what performance of a Vedic ritual or performance of any karma, what it can help, you know, what it can one can accomplish by doing karma, what one cannot accomplish. No, one has to know this. So knowing this is what understanding the limitation of karma. To understand, to know the value of knowledge, to understand, one has to understand the limitation of karma. Therefore, the teaching always begins, even in Veda, you know, even in Vedanta Shastram, always the limitation of karma is first discussed. So Ramana Maharshi also begins his teaching with the first verse, you know, wherein the limitation of karma is very beautifully explained. The first verse is what? First verse talks about what karma can do, what karma cannot do. Understand? So what is the limitation of karma? Why should we know the limitation of karma? To know the value of knowledge. Why should we know the value of knowledge? To become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Is it clear? So the first verse is the... We'll read the first verse now. Actual teaching is going to come later on. Now he begins like this. And the verse begins with the word karta. Karta literally means doer. And karta also means maker. And maker of the universe, when you say, is Bhagavan. You know, therefore karta also implies Bhagavan, stands for Bhagavan. Therefore, to make his work more auspicious, to make this work a most auspicious work, and to begin, he begins this verse with the most auspicious word called karta. Understand? Karta means, stands for Ishvara. Therefore, it sounds now, the verse also begins with the auspicious, you know, beginning. It has an auspicious beginning.
Karturagya prapyate phalam. Karturagya prapyate phalam. Karturagya prapyate phalam. Karturagya prapyate phalam. Karma kim param karma tajjadam. Karma kim param karma tajjadam. Kriti mahodadho patana karanam. Kriti mahodadho patana karanam. Phalamashashvatam gati nirodhakam. Phalamashashvatam gati nirodhakam. Karturagya prapyate phalam. Karturagya prapyate phalam. Karma kim param karma tajjadam. Karma kim param karma tajjadam. Kriti mahodadho patana karanam. Kriti mahodadho patana karanam. Phalamashashvatam gati nirodhakam. Phalamashashvatam gati nirodhakam. So he says, this is addressed to people who say by performing karma they can accomplish everything. By performing karma they can accomplish moksha. For such people this verse is addressed to. What he says is, karma
you perform any karma, secular karma or sacred karma. You perform a karma, you do a karma, the karma, you think karma is definitely followed by a phalam. Any karma you do, Vaidikam karma, a secular, sacred ritual, or Laukikam karma, a mundane activity, anything you do, it produces phalam, you think. It is followed by phalam, not produced. That means what? Any karma is followed by phalam is what? No karma ever goes waste means it always produces a phalam, we say. Phalam follows the karma but not produced by karma. Fruit of an action is not produced by the very action but is followed by the action. Okay, fruit always follows the action. That means what? The very action you perform does not produce the phalam. Then who is produced by whom now? The performance of karma is only instrumental, nimittam, for the phalam to surface, for the phalam to manifest. Any fruit that is enjoyed is only for that fruit to become manifest. The karma becomes nimittam, instrumental. That means the karma does not, you think karma produces phalam directly. No, karma is definitely followed by fruit of an action, but karma does not produce the phalam. That means what? Karma phalam is always determined, ordained, by the order of the Lord. Kartuhu agnaya phalam prapyate. Phalam prapyate. The fruit of an action is gained as ordained by the law, the universal natural law, which is Ishwaraha. Kartuhu nshana kartavudaya agyayinal. Who is the karta here? Bhagavanudaya agyayinal. Phalamanudu perappaduhiradu. That is the literal meaning. Phalam prapyate, the fruit of an action is gained as what? As ordained by the law, the natural law, that is Ishwaraha. Kartuhu agyaya eva phalam prapyate. That means what? The phalam which follows the karma is not directly produced by karma, but the karma becomes nimittam for the phalam to manifest. Understand? But what it looks, for want of words, we always say karma produces phalam. Who produces phalam? Nobody is producing phalam. Phalam follows the karma, and phalam is determined by kartuhu ajna. Kartuhu ajnaya phalam prapyate. Irivanudaya kattalaiyinal palananadu perappadugirathu. Okay, kartuhu ajnaya phalam prapyate. Therefore, karma kim param karma tajjadam. Karma kim param karma tajjadam. What is karma? How do you, kim karma param? It's a question tag actually. Is karma superior? Karma kim param? Kim karma param? Enna karma parama? It's a question. Karma meranada? How do you say karma is superior? Kim karma param? Karma param kim? That's the question asked there. Kim enna karma meranada? Is karma superior? How do you say karma is superior? A karma is not superior. Karma kim param? Why karma is not superior? Kim karma param? Na. Karma na param. Karma is not superior. Why? The answer comes. Karma tajjadam. Because karma is inert in nature. karma, tat karma jadam. Jadam means what? Karma is inferior because karma is inert in nature. Why do you say karma is inert in nature? Whatever action, he is explaining. Now he has to explain. Now how karma is jadam. We have to get an answer here. Kimartam karma jadam. Why karma is inert, said to be inert. When you say karma is inert, the inert karma, inert karma cannot be the means for accomplishing mokshaha. One thing. Understand? That means, why? Because mokshaha means what? Fullness. Mokshaha means what? Fullness. You have to forget about freedom and all that. Mokshaha means fullness, happiness. Discovery of fullness and happiness. So happiness means what? Reality. Happiness is reality. Reality is happiness. Isn't it? Therefore, reality means what? How can the inert karma be the means for discovering, for accomplishing the reality, the fullness? So this karma jadam. Why do you say, what do you mean by saying karma is jadam? He says, look at this. Karma is jadam because why do we do karma? What is karma? Analyze here. What is an action? When you do karma, whatever karma you do, whether it is a Vedicam karma or Laukikam karma, any karma you do, any activity you do, any action you do, what is this action? Any action is an expression of what? The desire. Any action is impelled by desire. If there is no desire at all in the mind, karma is not possible. Performance of karma, doing of any activity is not at all possible if there is no such thing called desire which rises in the form of a thought. So any action, external behavior, any action, any activity, expression of what? Is impelled by the desires. So what is desire now? We have to ask now. So what is karma? Karma is expression of desires. Understand now? So what is desire now? A desire is a thought. Desire is something which arises, right, rises in the mind in the form of a thought. Why there are desires then? What is desires are all about? What are these desires which rise in the form of thoughts? Which are the form of thoughts? What are these desires? These desires are expressions of what? In fact, the needs. Desires are because of the needs only. If there is no such thing called need, then there cannot be desire at all. Because there are lots of needs always there. Needs are there naturally, therefore their desires are there. Again, needs are also what? In the form of what? Again, emotion. And why there are needs? Why there is something called need? The needs are because of sense of inadequacy. Kurai. Kurai naal tevai, tevai naal asena. Because sense of inadequacy. And sense of inadequacy, there is inadequacy, there is no real inadequacy, there is a sense of inadequacy, which again you are not creating. You are not creating your desires, you are not creating your needs. Needs are naturally there, desires are naturally there. These desire impelled are these actions, what you see. And the sense of inadequacy is there, therefore there are needs. And sense of inadequacy, where is it? Again, it's in the form of thought only. Sense of inadequacy, the sense of limitation also is in the form of thought. Kurengiradhu enga irukku sollunga paakalam. Ennathil dhaan kurai. Kurai irupadhal thevaigal, thevaiyinal aasaigal, aasaiyinal undudhale enna seyalna. So why there is sense of inadequacy, where is it? It is there in the form of a thought. It is centered on I. The sense of inadequacy is purely nothing but a thought. It is centered on I. Again, you are not creating sense of inadequacy. It is naturally there. Why there is sense of inadequacy? Because there is the sense of limitation, the sense of smallness. The sense of limitation, sense of smallness centered on I. Naturally, non-kuregale udayavan, that is, I am small. The sense of inadequacy, the sense of smallness, the sense of limitation being centered on I, which is again naturally there. Why the sense of inadequacy is there, centered on I? Because here what happens, there is no discriminative knowledge of the self and the non-self. Therefore, what? This non-self is mistaken for this self. The sense of inadequacy is centered on I because the non-self is mistaken for the self. And the limitations of the attributes of the non-self are superimposed upon this self. Two things we have to say. The non-self is mistaken for the self, and the limitations of the non-self are superimposed upon the self. Thereby, there is a sense of inadequacy, the sense of this fundamental problem of smallness being centered on I. Why this non-self is mistaken for the self? Because there is self-ignorance. Why there is self-ignorance? Which is naturally there. Understand now that we don't ask that question. We stop there. There is self-ignorance. We don't need to ask why there is self-ignorance. We have to know that there is something called self-ignorance. Because we are not aware of the very ignorance. We are ignorant of the self-ignorance. We have to only know that we are ignorant of self-ignorance. And we now come to know of self-ignorance. That is enough. Instead of asking why there is self-ignorance, we have to understand there is self-ignorance. There is self-ignorance, something naturally there. Again, what is self? What do you mean by self? Self is a reflexive pronoun, which implies, the word self implies the reality, the substance, which is a content of every I thought. That is why self is the very reality. Self means, we can't say selves. It's a wrong word actually. Self means a singular only, always singular. Because self is the self of all the beings, is actually the reality. Therefore, the self is, why? The reality being available for recognition as the content of I thought, the reality is said to be what? Self. So we say the self, there is self is nothing but the reality which is available for recognition as the content, as the substance, as the essence of I thought. Like essence, the content of wave is water, H2O. Content of I thought, understand now, reality being available for recognition as the content of I thought. We say reality is meant by the word self also here. And that is the self of all the beings. Nothing but the reality. So here there is ignorance of this self, means there is ignorance of what this I actually is. When all of us use the word I, what this I means?
You say wave means H2O. Wave is H2O. The content of wave is H2O. The essence of wave is H2O. The substance of wave is H2O. You know, the reality of wave is H2O. That, similarly, why do you say the reality of wave is H2O? Because H2O is the substance from where the wave rises, in which the wave exists, into which the wave resolves. The content, the reality, the existence, the essence, the truth of the wave is H2O. When you say the reality is that from where the wave comes into being, from where the wave rises, and in which the wave exists, into which the wave resolves, is H2O. Similarly here also, when you say I, when you say, what is this I? This I is actually a thought. I also is thought. Am also is a thought. I am together is a thought. I, non. When you say, what is this I? I is nothing but a thought. That we will see later on. It's going to be explained later on. Now I want to understand this much. I, when we express I go, I come, I sit, I am, when you say, whether you say I am, I go, I see, I eat, there, what is it I? I, when you say it out, it is a word. I is a first person singular pronoun word, isn't it? A term, sound. But what is expressed as in through speech is what? Is already must be in the form of a thought. Understand now? Any word, anything expressed, word is already there as the thought. Word, speech is nothing but expression of thought. Understand now? It's already there. Therefore, actually, I is nothing but a thought. I is a thought. And the content, what is I is? I don't say what I am. I don't want to say that. What this I is, we do not know. This I thought, where does it exist? Where does it rise from? And where does it resolve, this I thought? In fact, you can simply say thought also. A thought. Where does any thought come into being? Where does any thought come into being? Where does it exist? And where does it resolve? Where does this I thought come into being? And where does it exist? Where does it resolve? We do not know. This not knowing what this I is in fact not knowing the content of I. Not knowing the content of I thought is what? Self-ignorance. Understand now? Self-ignorance. And the self-ignorance is naturally there. It is not created. The self-ignorance being there naturally. Look at the self-ignorance being there naturally. And then this non-self is mistaken for the self. This is called erroneous self-perception. Is due to self-ignorance. And because of erroneous self-perception, what happens? All the limitations of the non-self are superimposed upon the self. Okay, the self is actually is of the nature of limitlessness. But the non-self is subject to all limitations. The limitations of the non-self are superimposed upon the self due to erroneous self-perception. Therefore, what happens? The sense of inadequacy is there. Centered on I is possible. The problem of the fundamental problem of the smallness being centered on I. I am small. I am limited. I am a mortal. Etc. All the, this sense of inadequacy is due to what? We say again, these notions one has about the self. And the notions one has about the self are all wrong notions, which is called ahankara. You have to understand this very ahankara very clearly. What is ahankara? Ahankara is again, the notion.
the notion one has about the self is called ahankara. Which notion? Erroneous notion one has about the self. Not only one mean, but every human being has wrong notion about the self, not one's own self. You can just say the self, it's enough. Every human mind, okay, there is an erroneous notion about the self. What is the erroneous notion about the self? When a person says, I'm a mortal, I'm no, etc., etc., all the wrong notions about the self are together known as ahankaraha. So the ahankar, because ahankara, there is sense of inadequacy. Now you have to remember this ajnanam, self-ignorance. Because of ajnanam, there is adhyasaha, erroneous self-perception. And because of erroneous self-perception, this non-self being mistaken for the self, and thereby what happens is superimposition. There is adhyaropaha. Adhyaropaha means what? The superimposition of limitations of the non-self upon the self. Thereby what happens? There is erroneous notion about the self, which is called ahankara. Remember the order. Ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha, ahankaraha. I taught to you in Satyabodha class. I am repeating it today. Adhyaropaha. Ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha, ahankaraha. Why there is erroneous notion about the self? Actually, self is of the nature of limitlessness, fullness. But what is the notion we have? I am small. No. Because we think I am small, I am a limited being, I am small in terms of so many things, and I am mortal, etc., etc. All these erroneous notions about the self, which together are called ahankaraha, is due to adhyaropa. Adhyaropa is due to erroneous self-perception, is due to self-ignorance. Isn't it? Mistake non-self for the self. Therefore, this because of this erroneous notion one has about the self, there is sense of inadequacy. This problem of smallness being centered on I. Because of this inadequacy, there naturally are emotional needs. Because there are needs, there are desires. Nothing is created. Look at this. Because there are desires, the desires impel, always express themselves in the form of actions. So what is the root cause of desires? Action, tell me now. Why do we perform actions? That is why the whole jagat, nothing can remain even for a second without doing any actions. Know that? Nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatu tishtati akarmakrit. Without doing any karma, even for a second nothing remains. Always are activities, motions. Always. So any activity, action is expression of desires. Any action is impelled by desires. And why there are desires? That is why nobody can ever remain quiet like this. Without doing any karma means, unless you are laziest person, even then sitting is an action. It is not naturally, everybody is active. Some action or the other you have to be doing. You can't keep quiet. You can't remain quiet. Being active is a natural thing. Physically and mentally also. So activities are, you know, impelled by desires which are not created, which are natural. Desires are nothing but the thoughts, and desires are due to the needs. And the needs are due to the sense of inadequacy, this sense in inadequacy centered on I, due to the problem of the fundamental problem of smallness being centered on I. And that fundamental problem of the smallness being centered on I, or sense of inadequacy being centered on I, is due to ahankaraha. What is ahankaraha? The erroneous notion every mind entertains about this self. That notion also is a thought. And why there are erroneous notions about the self? Because the limitations of the non-self are superimposed upon this self. Why? Because the non-self is mistaken for the self. Why? Because the self is not known. The self-ignorance. Therefore, what is the root cause of activities? Ajnanam, ignorance. What about ignorance? Inert in nature. Understand now. Okay, ignorance itself is what? Ignorance is, in fact, itself is a thought. Ignorance also is a thought only. Ignorance also is a thought. In fact, inertness means not being aware of one's own existence. Anything which does not know its own existence is inert. That which does not know its own existence is inert in nature. Tan irupai thane ariyadathu jadam. That which does not know its own existence is inert. Literally speaking. But here, ignorance is what? A thought. So ignorance is the cause of what? The action. We have to say, understand here. The root cause of activities is ignorance. Therefore, it is jadam. You have to give a long explanation. One sentence, look at this. Why karma is jadam? Here talk about ajnanam. Is naturally there. What ajnanam? Atma ajnanam. Self-ignorance is naturally there, not created. And we have come to know of self-ignorance. Only then we understand, because of ajnanam there is adhyasaha. There is erroneous self-perception. Because of adhyasaha, this adhyaropaha, superimposition of the limitations of the non-self upon the self. Because of adhyaropaha, there is what? Ahankaraha. Wrong, erroneous notions about the self. Because of wrong notions about the self, what happened? There is the fundamental problem of smallness being centered on I. Therefore, sense of inadequacy. Therefore, there naturally there are needs, emotional needs, always needs. I want to do this, I want to do this. Why the needs are always there? Because how much ever you do, how much you accomplish, since the smallness continues to be there, the dissatisfaction continues to be there, the emotional, the need continues to be there, always the need. The need means the dissatisfaction always drives you. Because of needs, there are always desires. I want to do that, I want to do this, I want to. The desire to do something itself is because of the needs. It is why we don't look, if we understand all these things, everything is divine, everything is natural. So desires. And because of desires, what? There are activities. And when you perform actions, what happens? Every karma is definitely followed by a phalam. The karma itself does not produce a phalam. How the pot maker makes the pot, like that karma itself does not make the phalam, create the phalam. Understand now, karma is only nimittam, instrumental for the phalam to manifest. Is it clear? Therefore, karma, do you think karma is param? This word is karma. Karma jadam. Jadam means what? It is because of desires. Understand now. The desire is due to what? Needs. Why there are needs? Sense, because of sense of inadequacy. Why? Because of ahankara. Because of wrong notions about the self. Why? Because the superimposition of limitations of the non-self upon the self. because non-self is mistaken for the self, because self is not known, because there's a self-ignorance. Therefore, self-ignorance is the root cause of any activity. Therefore, what? It is jadam. Is it clear now? Therefore, it is jadam. That karma is not superior. Karma kim param, karma tajjadam. Karma kim param, karma tajjadam. Look at this. First he said, kartuhu agya phalam prapyate. First point. Second point he said, karma is not the superior because karma is jadam. How karma is jadam? How karma is inert? Because self-ignorance is the root cause of any karma. Understand why? Because look at, you have to understand here. If the self is known, if there is self-knowledge, in self-knowledge, there will not be erroneous self-perception. You will not mistake the non-self for this self. You will know self as the self. Once you do not mistake the non-self for the self, naturally, there is no need for you. There won't be superimposition of the limitations upon the self. You will know you have discriminated knowledge of what the self is, what the non-self is. You know the non-self is nothing but the self. The self is not the non-self. You know that very well. Therefore, there won't be any limitations, won't be superimposed upon the self. The no limitations mean there won't be ahankara. There won't be erroneous notion about the self. Error in your, error in your perception of the self will be corrected. Therefore, there won't be wrong. Ahankara will be resolved. See, freeing oneself from the wrong notions one has about oneself is what? Having one's ahankara resolved. Got it now? Freeing oneself from the wrong notion one has about the self is what? Having ahankara resolved. Ahankara neenga peridal. You're not giving up ahankara. You get your ahankara resolved. How to resolve the ahankara? It's like solving any mathematical problem. You resolve the ahankara means freeing oneself from the wrong notion one has about the self. When do you free yourself? When you correct your notion. How? By knowing, knowledge. So in knowledge, there's no adhyasa, there's no adhyaropa, there's no ahankara. You don't undo anything. They resolve themselves. If there's no ahankara, the sense of, you're free from sense of inadequacy being centered on I. The inadequacy you're not giving up, you're undoing it. The inadequacy kurai thanaga maranjirumna. See, in discovering fullness, inadequacy will be resolved. See, niraivai arindal niraivil kuraigal thamaga marayumna. Kuraivai neeki niraivai nee pera mudiyadu, niraivil kuraigal thamaga marayumna. Understand now? See, in fullness, in discovering fullness, your sense of inadequacy will be resolved. If sense of inadequacy is resolved, the fundamental problem of smallness being held on I is resolved naturally. I tell you, there won't be, where if a person revels in fullness, there cannot be needs. It is impossible for one to revel in fullness and not to have needs. Nerevil telekiravanukku thevai irukka mudiyadu. Teva itself, the need itself implies only inadequacy. You can't say, no, the person of fullness, but he still has needs. It is not possible. You know, it's saying, it's viruddha dharma. No, ekaspin vastuni nasya. You know, they're opposed to each other. Fullness and inadequacy cannot coexist. Like what? Like darkness and light cannot coexist. You can't say, no, I see light there, I also see darkness there. You can say short, I give this example often. You can say tall, fat person is coming. Or short, fat person is coming. Or thin, tall person is coming. You can say this. Because they are not opposed to each other. Tallness and fatness are not opposed to each other. But you can't say tall, short person is coming. You can't say that. Why? Understand? Viruddha Dharmo. Okay, the two attributes opposed to each other cannot be found in the same locus. Tallness and shortness cannot coexist. Tallness and fatness can coexist. Tallness and thinness can coexist. Fatness and shortness can coexist. But tallness and shortness cannot coexist. Isn't it? Because they are viruddha dharmo, opposed to each other. Similarly, fullness and inadequacy cannot coexist. Niraivum தேவையும் ஒன்றாய் இருக்க முடியாது. Where there is நிறைவு, fullness, there is no need. Where there is, understand now, there is no need, there can't be needs. Where there are needs, there is no fullness. குறையிலே inadequacy is possible, okay? If there is no fullness, in inadequacy needs are possible. But in fullness, needs are not possible. So fullness and needs cannot coexist. Therefore, in this self is known means reality is known. Reality is known means fullness is known. Fullness is known means fullness is in fact, the person who knows the fullness revels in fullness. The one who revels in fullness is free from all these problems of what? Adhyasa, adhyaropa, ahankara. He has resolved all his ahankara, etc. Therefore, there are no needs. Therefore, there cannot be desires also naturally. This person does not give up desires. Now, the desires are naturally resolved for him. Understand? Therefore, if he says, he explains very beautifully, the very karma itself is born of what? The product of ignorance, in fact. Self-ignorance, isn't it? Ignorance is the root cause of the karma. Therefore, karma is jadam. This karma, which is the jadam, which is the product of ignorance of the self, is the product of inadequacy. How can it be the means for discovering fullness? Kurayin velippadagiya. Okay, ஆசையினால் வருகின்ற செயல் எப்படி நிறைவிற்கு அடைவதற்கு வழியாக முடியும்? How can? Is it clear now? See this, the fullness is something to be discussed, isn't it? The action, the any activity which is an expression of, which is impelled by desires which are products of what? Inadequacy. How can this karma be the means for accomplishing fullness? Inadequacy caused activities cannot be the means for accomplishing fullness, the moksha. Is it clear now? Therefore what? Karma is jadam. Is it clear? Karma kim param, karma tajjadam. Karma kim param, karma tajjadam. Now he says, not only this is, this karma, the more and more and more you do karma, okay, karma being instrumental for the karma phalam, and karma phalam is always, will follow karma. Karma phalam always follow karma. When the karma is done, karma phalam is there, definitely. And when the karma phalam is there, karma phalam has to be exhausted. And to exhaust the karma phalam, if you do not finish exhausting the karma phalam in a given janma, definitely the karma phalams will be stored as what? Agami. Agami will join the sanchitam. So karma phalam has to be exhausted. For the sake of exhausting karma phalam, you have to be definitely born again. Isn't it? Karma produces phalam, not directly, but karma becomes instrumental for the phalam to manifest. The phalam has to be exhausted. And to exhaust the phalam, you have to be born again. Once you are born, again you will be doing karma. Once you do karma, you accumulate again karma, one karma phalam. Once you accumulate karma phalam, the accumulated karma phalam has to be exhausted. And to exhaust the accumulated karma phalam, you have to be born again. Therefore what? Kriti mahodadihi. Udadihi means, udakam means water. Udadihi means ocean. Maha udadihi, big ocean. Why? Beginningless, endless. That is what is called big ocean. Maha udadihi. What maha udadihi? Kriti means action. Kriti maha udadihi means this big, beginningless, endless ocean of this, you know, this life of transmigration, no, begin, cycle of births and deaths is said to be what? Kriti mahodadihi. Why? Because karma is the means for one remaining, one continuing in this samsara, life of transmigration. How is it possible for one to continue to be in the ocean of samsara, this life of transmigration? Being born, no, doing karma, accumulating punya papa, again to exhaust the punya papa, being born again accumulate punya papa. So janma karma phalam. Look at this. Janma karma phalam. Phalam in what? Again, janma karma phalam. Janma karma phalam. Born, do karma, accumulate phalam, exhaust the phalam, again. Born, again you are born, it continues. Janma karma phalam, janma karma phalam, janma karma phalam. Born means activity, you have to do karma. Once you do karma, accumulate punya papa. Once you accumulate punya papa, they have to be exhausted. To exhaust the punya papa, you are born again. So what? This is life of transmigration. This life of, no, the life of the cycle of life of cycle of births and deaths. Cycle. Because it's beginningless, endless, therefore it's a cycle of births and deaths is what? Likened to Maha Udadihi. Big ocean. The beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, which is called samsaraha, life of transmigration, is due to what? Performance of karma only. Therefore it is called what? Kriti Mahodadihi. Kriti maha udadihi. Karma ka kriti karanena. Kritya. Listen, karma becomes means for one to remain in the life of transmigration. Samsara sagaraha. So kriti maha udadau patana karanam. It is the cause for falling into the ocean of samsara. Life of transmigration. What is that cause? Karma. So this karma, this activity, the performance of actions becomes in fact means for what? In fact is the cause for the fall of a being into the ocean of samsara. Patanasya karanam bhavati. Where patana means falling. Manushaha patati. Kutra patati. Samsara sagare patati. Oh, now you can understand a little bit. Samsara sagare patati. Kriti maha udadau patati. Katam patati? Karmana. Karma karanena. Kritya. Understand now. Therefore, what? The performance of actions, in fact, always paves way for one to fall into the ocean of life of transmigration. Kriti maha udadau patana karanam. Therefore what? Gati nirodhakam. It obstructs. Nirodhakam means that which obstructs. Nirodhakam. It obstructs. The more and more you do karma, the performance of karma always obstructs one from accomplishing moksha. In fact, karma is not the means for moksha. Karma, in fact, obstructs one from
discovering moksha.
Why? The more karma you do, karma takes all the attention. Isn't it? Karma, performance of karma, does not serve as means for moksha. It obstructs the path, obstructs the way to discover moksha. Is it clear now? How does it obstruct the way to discover moksha? Because the more you do karma, the more you enjoy punya papa, the more you enjoy pleasures, the more you accumulate artha, the more you get engrossed in enjoyment of pleasures, the more mind is taken away from, discovering moksha. Therefore, karma in fact obstructs the way to the discovery of moksha. For gati nirodhakam, moksha gati adivadarka tadayaha irupadu, samsara sagaratil vilivadarka karanamaha irupadu, அஜானத்தினால் இந்த நிறை குறையினால் இல்லைங்க குறையினுடைய வெளிப்பாடாக ஆசையினுடைய காரணம் தோன்றுவதால் இது வந்து ஜடமானது. ஹவு கேன் தட் கர்மா பி சுப்பீரியர்? கர்மக்கும் பரம். இன்ஃபேக்ட் யூ திங்க் கர்மா ப்ரொடியூசஸ் பலம், கர்மா டஸ் நாட் ப்ரொடியூஸ் பலம். கர்மா ஒன்லி இன்ஸ்ட்ருமெண்டல் ஃபார் தி பலம் டு மேனிஃபெஸ்ட், பிகாஸ் பலம் ஆல்சோ ஆர்டைன்ட் பை Niyati, the natural law and order, which is Ishvara. Understand? This is how, in the first verse, he talks about the limitation of karma. Finished. First verse is over. You can read it now.
Karturagyaya prapyate phalam. Karturagyaya prapyate phalam. Karma kim param. கர்ம தஜ்ஜடம். கர்ம கிம் பரம் கர்ம தஜ்ஜடம். கிருதி மகோததோ பதன காரணம். கிருதி மகோததோ பதன காரணம்.
இட் வெரி சிம்பிள், கேன் மேக் அவுட் த மீனிங் ஆல்சோ. கிருதி மகோததோ
பதன காரணம். கிருதி மகோததோ பதன காரணம். ஃபலம் அசாஸ்வதம் கதி நிரோதகம். ஃபலம் அசாஸ்வதம் கதி நிரோதகம்.
அண்ட் தென் ஃபலம் அசாஸ்வதம். எனி ஃப்ரூட் ஆஃப் எனி கர்மா வில் பி அசாஸ்வதம், நாட் பெர்மனன்ட். கர்மா ஃபலம் கேன் நெவர் பி எ பெர்மனன்ட் ஒன். Any karma phalam is subject to what? Subject to get exhausted. It is impermanent. So what is it? Therefore, the karma itself is time bound in nature. Any karma, if you say, any activity for that matter, if you see, any activity action is what? Is a constituent of many units of actions. Any unit of action or one action which is a constitution of many units of actions, any action is time bound in nature. Any karma has a kala varere. It is time bound. So time bound karma cannot produce what? Can produce only time bound phalam. The fruit of an action, time bound action also will be time bound in nature. So what time bound fruit is what? Subject to time limitation means it is Ashashvatam, impermanent only. But what is moksha? Permanent, everlasting. Why do you say everlasting? Because it has no beginning, it has no end, because it is eternal, it is changeless. What is happiness? What is fullness? Moksha is fullness and happiness. What is happiness and fullness? Reality. What is reality? Satyam. What is satyam? Beginningless, endless, changeless, shashvatam. Shashvatam. What is shashvatam na? Only one thing it is shashvatam, the reality. Paramburul mattume shashvatam anadana. Why? Beginningless, endless, changeless. That is what is fullness. So what about this karma phalam? ashashvatam. Why karma phalam is ashashvatam? Why it is impermanent? Because karma itself is impermanent. What do I mean by that? Because it is time bound in nature. So the time bound karma produces only time bound phalam. The time bound, but moksha being timeless reality, timeless fullness, isn't it? And it cannot be produced by, cannot be accomplished by performing a karma. Is it clear now? Gati nirodhakam phalam ashashvatam. Therefore, the more you, the karma is obstruct, the performance of karma in fact obstructs the way to accomplish jnanam, which is moksha. Phalam ashashvatam karturagyaya prapyate phalam. Karturagyaya prapyate phalam. Karma kim param karma tajjadam. Karma kim param karma tajjadam. Kriti mahodadau patana karanam. Kriti mahodadau patana karanam. Phalam ashashvatam gati nirodhakam. Phalam ashashvatam gati nirodhakam. This is what karma is all about. Therefore, okay, if karma, this is what karma is all about. If karma cannot be the means, performance of karma, a ritual or activity, cannot be the means for accomplishing moksha, then karma is useless. Then we don't need to do any karma at all. If knowledge is the only means for moksha, then we don't need to do karma at all. We can simply directly go for jnanam. There again, he has to say, no, you can't totally ignore karma. What does it mean here? See, karma should not be mistaken for the means for accomplishing moksha, but karma has to be performed. Very important, without performing karma, one cannot gain jnanam, which is moksha. Karma itself cannot produce jnanam. Karma itself cannot be the means to accomplish moksha. But without performing karma, no jnanam is possible. Jnanam, which is moksha. Isn't it? Jnanam is moksha. But jnanam is not possible without performing karma. Why? Because jnanam means knowledge of what fullness is, knowledge of what happiness is, knowledge of what reality is, implies what? The mind being pure and steady. Knowledge is moksha. Knowledge is the direct means for moksha. Knowledge itself is moksha. But that jnanam implies mind being pure and steady. Without mental purity and steadiness, no jnanam is possible. Though no moksha is possible. For mental purity and steadiness, what one should do? One has to do karma. But how one should do karma? Because the question comes, just now we studied the limitation of karma. How karma is what? Kim karma param nasti, karma jadam, karma samsna, that griti mahodado patana karanam, gati nirodhakam, phallam ashashvatam. No, we studied about the karma. What should we do karma then? A karma has to be performed, but how it should be performed? The karma performed, karma is always performed, choicelessly performed, but karma performed with the proper attitude becomes a means for preparing the mind in terms of antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naischalyam. Thereby it prepares the mind for jnanam, which is moksha. Therefore what? Karma performed with the proper attitude is said to be karma yoga, which is an indirect means for moksha. Therefore what? He talks about the greatness of karma yoga. One has to understand karma can never help one accomplish moksha. But karma cannot be given up totally. Karma has to be performed. But how it should be performed? No? That means karma should be performed as yoga. Karma yoga cannot be performed. We understand. Karma yoga cannot be done. Okay? People say, I do karma yoga. It's a wrong expression. Karma yoga cannot be done. Yoga is attitude. Karma performed with proper attitude converts the karma into yoga. Therefore, karma performed as yoga, helps, but becomes, serves a direct means for, indirect means for moksha, in terms of preparing the mind for jnanam. Therefore, he talks about the greatness of karma yoga in the next verse. So, having talked about the mere performance of karma as a means for moksha, having condemned it, having talked about the limitations of karma, now Ramana Maharishi, in the next verse, he talks about, highlights the importance of karma yoga. What is karma yoga then? Immediately he says, because we think if karma is useless, then immediately we think karma is useless. Karma jadam. No, don't think karma is useless. It is very important. Without performing karma, no jnanam is possible, no moksha is possible. Karma has to be performed, but as yoga. So how karma should be performed? What is karma yoga? So importance of karma yoga, which serves as indirect means for moksha, is highlighted in the next verse.
Ishwararpitam nechaya kritam. Ishwararpitam nechaya kritam. Chitta shodhakam mukti sadhakam. Chitta shodhakam mukti sadhakam. Ishwararpitam nechaya kritam. Ishwararpitam nechaya kritam. Chitta shodhakam mukti sadhakam. Chitta shodhakam mukti sadhakam. Kayavangmana karyamuttamam. Kayavangmana karyamuttamam. Pujanam japas chintanam kramat. Pujanam japas chintanam kramat.
So here, we'll see this third verse here actually. So Ishwararpitam nechayakritam chitta shodhakam mukti sadhakam. The karma becomes mukti sadhakam. Sadhakam means what? With that which serves as means for accomplishing mukti, the moksha. Mukti is a feminine gender word for the word moksha. Moksha is a masculine gender word. Mukti is a feminine gender word. You can name a girl as mukti, boy as moksha. Moksha is a masculine gender word. Mukti is a feminine gender word. And we have a new gender word also. What is that? Mochanam, vimochanam. So, mukti sadhakam means moksha sadhanam. A moksha sadhanam bhavati. Kim? Karma. Karma becomes a means for moksha. How? If karma is performed with proper attitude. What is the attitude? Performed with an attitude of offering to the Lord. Any karma you do it with an attitude of offering it to the Lord. Then becomes what? No? Ishwararpitam karma. Ishwararpitam karma mukti sadhakam bhavati. That's all simple. If Ishwararpitam na karma, if it is not Ishwararpitam, mukti sadhakam na bhavati. Okay, if the karma is performed with an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan, then it becomes mukti sadhakam. Next question comes, what do we mean by offering? Now, mean by having an attitude of offering our actions to Bhagavan. What do you mean by that? You can't offer every action you do to Bhagavan.
See, having an attitude of offering one's actions to Bhagavan means being 100% clear about the purpose of living this life. The ultimate purpose of living this human life is to discover the fullness which is already there in the form of reality. The purpose of the choiceless end of living, now the purpose of the ultimate purpose of living this life is to discover the fullness which is there already in the form of the very reality. பரும்பொருளின் சொரூபமாக இருக்கின்ற நிறைவை புரிந்து கொள்ளுதலே முடிவாக இந்த வாழ்க்கையின் மேலான லட்சியம். தட் மஸ்ட் பி வெரி கிளியர். சோ டிஸ்கவரிங் தி ஃபுல்னஸ் விச் இஸ் ஆல்ரெடி தேர் இன் ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் ரியாலிட்டி இஸ் தி அல்டிமேட் சாய்ஸ்லெஸ் எண்ட் ஆஃப் ஹியூமன் லைஃப். தட் தி பர்பஸ் ஆஃப் லிவிங் திஸ் லைஃப். பட் டு லிவ் திஸ் லைஃப் ஒன் நீட்ஸ் டு ஹாவ் இன்ஃபிராஸ்ட்ரக்சர் ஃபார் விச் ஒன் நீட்ஸ் டு பர்சியூ அர்த்த அண்ட் காமா. If it is very clear, one needs to pursue artha and kama to live the life, but one is living this life to ultimately discover the fullness in the form of reality. Is it clear now? That means moksha, the fullness becomes the ultimate end, and artha kamas become what? The time, no, relative ends. What is absolute end? What are the relative ends? If moksha being the ultimate end is very clear, artha kamas become the relative ends. And when a person pursues artha and kama, one cannot live one's life without pursuing artha and kama. Artha kamas have to be pursued. So pursue artha and kama to live the life. But living this life to discover fullness, which is moksha. But when you are living this life to discover moksha, this artha kama should be pursued how? In conformity with dharma. If dharma is forgotten, then artha kama's pursuit, you know, will just stop the artha kama pursuit. It will never, the ultimate end will not be accomplished. That is why if it is very clear, the relative ends, what is an absolute end, what are the relative ends are very clear. In that context, one will know the value of dharma also. So if one pursues artha and kama in conformity with dharma to live the life ultimately for discovering moksha, then a person is very clear. Here he will not mistake the ultimate end for relative ends. He will not mistake the relative ends for the ultimate ends. Understand? Then the person who knows the value of dharma, and whatever he does becomes, all that he does becomes offered to Bhagavan. Why? I am living this life. Ultimately, I pursue this artha, I pursue this kama, I enjoy these pleasures, I pursue this money, I earn this wealth, etc. To live this life, ultimately to discover Bhagavan, fullness in the form of Bhagavan, Bhagavan in the form of fullness. If it is very clear, whatever he does becomes what? Offered to Bhagavan. That's why Purushartha Nischaya is very, very important. If Purusharatha Nischeha is not there, then if moksha being the ultimate end is not very clear, then the relative ends, artha kamas, which are relative ends, become the absolute end. The relative ends will be mistaken for the absolute end. When they are mistaken for the absolute end, the artha kamas, the relative ends, the time-bound ends are mistaken for the absolute timeless end, then one may not know the value of dharma. That is when a person becomes a karmi, not a karma yogi. Understand now? So, karma yogi, when you say, the person is very clear, the purpose of living this life
is very clear. Then the importance of pursuing artha and kama. And the pursuit of artha kama is in conformity with dharma. It is very clear, whatever the person does, I am living this life ultimately to discover fullness, to discover Bhagavan, to discover the reality. It is very clear. And why do we pursue artha kama then? To live this life. How do I pursue artha kama? In conformity with dharma. Why should I pursue artha kama in conformity with dharma? Otherwise, I will not be prepared for the knowledge. Therefore, I had to pursue artha kama in conformity with dharma. So, the person who knows what is the absolute end, what is the ultimate purpose of living this life, how artha kamas are the relative time-bound ends, they had to be pursued for living this life, and how they should pursued in conformity with dharma, by the person who knows the value of dharma also, then that person's actions become offered to Bhagavan. Is what Ishwararpitam. Understand now? Ishwararpitam means what? Ishwararpitam karma means Irevanukku arpikkappatta seyalgal. I have offered all my actions to Bhagavan means what? Not simply in saying it. It is not in saying it. It is not before doing everything, I am brushing my teeth, I am Ishwararpitam, I am washing Ishwararpitam. You can't say before doing every action Ishwararpitam, I am eating Ishwararpitam. Not that, you can't do that. Is it practical? Is it possible? Yes, be very, 100% very clear. What am I living this life for? What is that I am going to accomplish ultimately? What is that I seek through all that I am doing? This is where we are very clear means we will not even mistake, you know. We will know the value of money, value of Lakshmi, value of Artha, value of Kama, in the right correct understanding of everything. Because this, you cannot live this life without artha kama. So I pursue artha kama to live the life. But I live this life to discover moksha. But how do I pursue artha kama in conformity with dharma? Very clear. If this picture is very clear, then all one's actions become offered to Bhagavan. Ishwararpitam. Then, na ichchayakritam. Then what does one do? Why should one do karma now? There is no way of pursuing artha and kama without doing actions. Look at this. Now you know the importance of karma also. Why should you do karma? How can you pursue artha and kama? How can you earn wealth and money? How can you have infrastructure? How can you have any pleasures you want in life without doing any active actions? So you have to do the karma. But when you do your karma to pursue artha kama for infrastructure, for your needs or for your pleasures and wealth and etc., how do you do? Your actions do not go by your ichcha, your own likes and dislikes. Na ichchaya kritam tan ishtatirke etpa seyalgal puriyvathu kadaiyathu. Na ichchaya kritam means what? One does actions which are not performed, understand, according to one's own whims and fancies. But how? Na ichchayakritam. But one's actions are completely governed by one's knowledge of right and wrong, one's knowledge of dharma, one's knowledge of values. One's knowledge of dharma. One's actions are completely governed by dharma. Na ichchayakritam means what? The actions performed to pursue artha kama, to live this life, are not governed by one's own likes and dislikes, but governed by one's knowledge of right and wrong, one's knowledge of values, dharma. Na ichchayakritam. Tan viruppu viruppirukku yetpa seyal puriyamai. Then how do you do? Just because I like it, I do it. Right or wrong, I do it. Just because I don't like it, even if it is right, I don't do it. No. My actions are not governed by my own likes and dislikes, but my actions are governed by dharma, values. Whether I like it or not, I do it if it is right. I like it or not, I do not do it if it is wrong. That means what? My actions are governed by dharma. Na ichchayakritam karma, ishwararpitam karma, na ichchayakritam karma means what? Actions which are not governed by one's own desires, one's own likes and dislikes, but governed by one's knowledge of values means governed by dharma, one's commitment to dharma. It's clear? Nechayakritam. And here you have to understand nechayakritam, such a big word. Why? Because all one's actions are governed by dharma. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, we say, ishwararpitam, we say, the discretion in action, Swamiji says, no, karmasu kaushalam yogaha. Karmasu kaushalam yogaha means implied by here, na ichchayakritam. His actions are governed by dharma means discretion in action. Before you do any action, you see whether you do it right, it's right or wrong. If it is wrong, refrain from the wrong, and if it is right, do it. There's also what? One's actions, one is committed to live a life of values. One does not transgress values. That is nechayakritam. Here we also understand this is in karma yoga. One, by living a life of karma yoga, when you say when a person lives offering all one's actions to Bhagavan, then his actions are all governed by dharma means he is living in harmony with universal natural law and order. That means this following values, doing not transgressing values means what? In fact, surrendering one's will to Ishvara, which is relative Sharanagati. You have to remember this. Surrendering one's will to Ishvara, Bhagavan. Surrendering one's will to Dharma means surrendering one's willpower to Ishvara. Surrendering one's willpower to Ishvara, Bhagavan, is what? Sharanagati, relative Sharanagati. What is Sharanagati? You have to remember here. What is Sharanagati? Relative Sharanagati. Relative surrender. What is relative surrender? Offering one's will to Bhagavan. What do we mean by surrendering one's will to Bhagavan? Surrendering one's will to Bhagavan means surrendering one's will to the universal natural law and order. Surrendering one's willpower to the universal natural law and order means what? Being committed to live a life of values. Being committed to live a life of values means this commitment not to transgress universal values at all. Which means one's actions do not go by one's own likes and dislikes. One's actions always go by one's knowledge of right and wrong. This is what is nechayakritam. Understand? This is what is surrender. This is only way surrendering one's will to Ishvara means surrendering one's will to Dharma, the universal natural order, means this is the only way one can live in harmony with the universal natural law and order. In fact, this is what we say, Isaipada Vaazhudhal. Iraivanodu Isaipada Vaazhudhal. Dharmathodu Iyaindhu Vaazhudhal. That means we do not rub the order, we live in harmony with the order. Living in harmony with the order means you will be peaceful, you are also contributing for the peace of the universe. If you rub the order means you are disturbed by the order, you will be disturbed, you will be miserable, you also make others miserable. So, Ishwararpitam Nechayakritam. No, இயற்கையின் நியத்தியோடு இசைப்பட வாழ்தல், இயைந்து வாழ்தல் means what? Living in harmony with the universal law and order means one being committed to live a life of dharma. That is the only way one has completely surrendered one's will to Bhagavan in the form of law and order. That is Nechayakritam. Understand now? Nechayakritam. Tannudaiya viruppu veruppirkku yetpa seyal puriyamai.
So, Ishwararpitam Nechayakritam. Ishwararpitam Nechayakritam.
So, such a karma will help. What now?
Chitta Shodhakam.
So, living a life of karma yoga in due course of time will result in what? Mental purity.
Chitta Shodhakam.
And mental purity and mental steadiness.
Chitta Shodhakam.
So, it is natural for every human mind being impure. It's natural for any mind is impure naturally. Any mind has to become pure. How can one become mentally pure? Only by living a life of karma yoga. This way, there's no way of living a life of karma yoga without having purushartha nischaya. Karma yoga means what? Have purushartha nischaya. That's why Isharpana buddhi. If there's no Isharpana buddhi, Ishwar Arpita Buddhi is not there. There is no Karma Yoga. How can you have Ishwar Arpita Buddhi if there is no what is absolute end, what are the limited time bound, no, relative ends, if that is not very clear? How can there be no Karma Yoga?
Ishwar Arpitam na Ichchayakritam na Ichchayakritam
the Chitta Shodhakam. So this living a life of Karma Yoga helps one have mental purity.
Chitta Shodhakam.
Manadai Thuimai Paduthakoodiyathu. Indha Vaazhkai Murai Manadai Thuimai Paduthum.
Chitta Shodhakam.
And thereby it prepares the mind for Jnanam, which is Moksha. Therefore Mukti Sadhakam.
Mukti Sadhakam.
Thereby it paves way for Moksha. It serves, living a life of karma yoga serves as an indirect means for moksha. Why? Because it prepares the mind for jnanam in terms of mental purity. What is karma yoga? Ishwararpitam Nechayakritam. Completely dharma governed life, wherein one has surrendered one's willpower, the capacity to choose to do a given action. Kartumva, akartumva, annyathava kartum, to do or not to do it differently, you have the will. You have the willpower. You cannot say you don't have willpower. That is why you are a human being. There is a willpower. You can do, you need not do anything, or you can do it differently also. That capacity to do, not to do, or to do it differently, that willpower you have, and that willpower you have surrendered to Bhagavan. How? You cannot surrender your will to Bhagavan without having surrendered your will to Dharma, Bhagavan of natural law and order. So there is no way of surrendering one's will to Dharma without being committed to live a life of values. Commitment to live a life of values is in fact surrendering one's will to Dharma. Therefore, one's actions do not go by one's likes and dislikes, but by one's knowledge of values.
For Ishwar Arpitam. You know what is Ishwar Arpitam now?
Is it clear?
Okay, we'll do it tomorrow morning.
Ishwar Arpitam. Only I'm getting back, coming out of jet lag. Because initially I was just a little doing like this. Now I'm fresh. But now you all are tired now. I think tomorrow will be fine.
Ishwar Arpitam Nechayakritam. Ishwararpitam Nechayakritam. Chitta Shodhakam Mukti Sadhakam. Chitta Shodhakam Mukti Sadhakam.
So tomorrow we'll see.
Kaya Vangmana Karyamuttamam. Kaya Vangmana Karyamuttamam. Pujanam japas chintanam kramat. Pujanam japas chintanam kramat.
This one verse, the fourth verse, I love this book so much, you know, because people who talk about the spirituality, meditation, all those things, they completely ignore our forms of worship. And here, this is the context we understand what do we mean by worship. What is worship? Why do we worship? How it becomes, even meditation, etc. We'll see tomorrow. Okay? That is why one thing we have to understand, the one who lives a life of karma yoga, now we know, living a life of karma yoga means what? Having Ishvara in one's life. Understand now, having Ishvara in one's life means that there is no time you forget Bhagavan. Living a life of karma yoga, when do you forget Bhagavan? Because Bhagavan is the ultimate goal. See, when you say fullness, niraivu, happiness, anandaha, when you say, happiness is Bhagavan for us. There's no other Bhagavan. Reality, happiness, Bhagavan are all one and the same. Bhagavan is the ultimate goal. Discovering fullness is discovering Bhagavan. Discovering Bhagavan is what? Discovering the reality. Discovering this, the discovery of the self, discovery of the reality, discovery of Bhagavan, discovery of fullness is one and the same. There is no other Bhagavan other than fullness. Nirevi Katlam where Bhagavan Kadayad. Understand? Nirevi Paramburul Bhagavan are all same. Therefore, Bhagavan becomes the ultimate goal. Therefore, there is no second for the person who lives a life of karma yoga, who is very clear about the purpose of living this life. There's no Bhagavan in his life. Whatever he does, he is very clear. The mind is so clear why he is living this life. What is he living this life for? It's very clear means there's no second Bhagavan is forgotten. That is why whatever karma he does, all his actions are offered to Bhagavan. And in all his actions, he has discretion. So all his actions are governed by dharma. Therefore, Bhagavan, understand now, his will is under to Bhagavan. Dharma means, I tell you, when is he not a bhakta? Tell me. He is always a bhakta. A karma yogi, one who lives a life of karma yogi is a nitya bhakta. Nitya bhakta means what? The one who is ever a devotee. In all his actions, he is a devotee. Okay, bhakta. As an eater, he is a bhakta. As a sleeper, he is a bhakta. As a walker, he is a bhakta. Whatever he now, in all his actions, he is a bhakta. And as an individual, he plays many roles. Different roles he plays. In playing every role, he does different types of actions. In all his actions, in all his role plays, he is also bhakta. The bhakta is always a bhakta. In father, bhakta, son-in-law, bhakta, whichever role play he, whatever role he plays, he is still a bhakta. There is no time he is not a bhakta. Nitya bhakta. Okay. But there are times when he just, without playing other roles, he just plays off the role of a devotee. When? That we will see tomorrow. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.